Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast from WNYC in New York.
Three, that's a magic number.
Three.
Yes, it is. It's the magic number.
This is Soundcheck. I'm Joel Meyer, in today for John Schaefer. Today's Pick 3 playlist comes from the Peruvian-born, Alabama-raised, San Francisco-based author Daniel Alarcón. Alarcón's most recent novel is called At Night We Walk in Circles. It's funny, sad, and keeps you guessing throughout the book until the very last page. And for all those reasons, the book was named on many year-end best-of lists in 2013. Welcome, Daniel.
It's good to be here, Joel.
Thanks for coming in. You've picked out three songs that are going to maybe tell us a little bit about you. But first, we should probably hear a little bit about your book. I'm going to do my best to give a thumbnail sketch of what is a really, really complicated, complex novel that's really beautiful. And I'm going to try and do it. And then you can just shoot me down.
I promise. I promise to shoot you down.
The book revolves around this young artist, this young actor named Nelson, who is cast in a play called The Idiot President, which is celebrating its 15th anniversary. And it was a piece of work that was inspired after some really violent political uprising in a country that may or may not be Peru, the country of your birth.
It's so far, so good.
It's sort of an anonymous South American country. Mm-hmm. And he sort of hooks up with the writer of the play, Henry. Then they sort of take the show on the road, so to speak, and go out into the countryside. And then the plot gets even more complicated from there and spirals out into all these different plots.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that the primary story, it's about a young man at a stage of his life where he's put off making big decisions about who he wants to be. Before going off on tour with his hero, Henry's not just any old playwright, it's his hero. This is a big deal for him because it's the first time he's really leaving the city. He's always thought that he was going to emigrate to the United States because his brother's living here, but he's never been able to. He's never actually gotten a visa. He's kind of got this on again, off again, very complicated relationship with a girlfriend / ex-girlfriend. He kind of goes off into the countryside with Henry and Pata Larga, the other member of the theater troupe. And in the course of doing so, they run headlong into Henry's past, Henry's very troubled past. Mm-hmm. And it's that collision between a troubled young man named Nelson and Henry's complicated, violent, incendiary past that ends up being the crux of the novel.
And if that isn't, enough mystery, there are all these different pieces of personal history that crop up and sort of are relived or pantomimed kind of. There's also a narrator that is telling the story, and which is, early in the novel, you get a first person reference and you're like, oh, wait a minute, there's a narrator telling this. And that becomes something you're a little bit curious about throughout the book, about the story that this narrator is telling and who this person is.
Yeah, I mean, I was curious about it too, because, writing a novel is not like making a souffle. You don't follow a recipe. You're constantly, as if I've ever made a souffle. I don't know why I have just said that.
it totally made sense to me.
You just don't know what you're doing. I mean, at least I don't. I can spend 5 years without knowing what direction I'm going in. And that voice, that narrative voice, dropped in, and I was curious about it. And it was my hope that the reader would be curious as well, that the reader would want to find out two things. Who was Nelson and what happened to him, and who is this narrator and why are they telling the story?
The book is called At Night We Walk in Circles, and I'm talking with Daniel Alarcón. He is the Peruvian-born, San Francisco-based author behind the book. I'm Joel Meyer in today on Soundcheck for John Schaefer. So born in Peru, you didn't live there very long. You lived there until maybe about three, and then moved to the U.S. When we asked you to come up with three songs that you love, you picked a song by an artist that I don't know a lot about but is Peruvian. So maybe you can introduce me to the late musician Oscar Aviles.
Oscar Aviles, if you know anything about música criolla, Creole music from Peru, then you've heard Oscar Aviles' music before. You've heard him play guitar. And I brought him up because, I was a kind of angsty suburban adolescent who rejected everything my parents wanted to teach me.
You were growing up in Birmingham, Alabama?
Absolutely. And, I played guitar and I was listening to Jimi Hendrix and, you know, Zeppelin, and those were my guitar heroes when I was 12, 13, 14. And of course, my parents would put on Oscar Viles, and I would immediately start yawning because I was an unsophisticated idiot, basically. And I'm not sure when exactly I started listening to this music, I know when it was. I inherited my father's record collection.
Oh, okay.
And I had all this old wax of Oscar Viles, Sambo Cabero, Eva Ion, you know, these amazing, amazing Creole musicians that I had, of course, had just not even troubled myself to give it a real listen. And Oscar Viles is just a magnificent guitar player.
Well, let's give people a chance to hear Oscar Viles. He just passed away earlier this month. This song is called Cuando Llora Mi Guitarra. Cuando Llora Mi Guitarra, a song by Oscar Aviles, the Peruvian musician, a song picked by my guest Daniel Alarcón, the novelist behind the book At Night, We Walk in Circles. Daniel, that is a beautiful track.
It is. It's lovely. I mean, the intricacy of the guitar, you know, it's I guess, you know, in defense of my own, you know, adolescent ignorance, you know, you get really enthralled with virtuosity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you lose or what you don't understand at that point is also restraint, silences, you know, even kind of the delicacy of syncopation, the way melodies can fragment and then you know, come back together. I mean, all those things that when I was a young guitarist, I just wanted to see, you know, Jimi Hendrix burn his guitar. And I didn't. It was like I didn't even understand that he was playing. You know.
So do you still play guitar?
No, I actually just recently I had a really nice jazz guitar, kind of hollow body, beautiful guitar that was sitting in a closet unplayed for years. And a friend of mine, the Chilean novelist Alejandro Zambra, was visiting in town, and he'd just gotten robbed, and that someone had broken into his house and stolen his guitar.
Oh no!
And so I just gave it to him. Because it's, wow. An instrument like that should be played.
Sure.
I think that you know, I've moved to the ukulele now, which is easier to carry, more mobile.
I think we are in the same boat, Daniel, because I used to play guitar, I used to play bass, but did it very poorly and had no future in it. But I, too, have moved to the ukulele because it's like it's the most fun, convenient instrument you can find.
It's fun, convenient, and it's I have two kids now, so it's really great with the kids.
And if they break it.
It doesn't
buying
matter.
Another one is like less than 100
yeah,
bucks.
Exactly.
I'm speaking with Daniel Alarcón, the novelist behind At Night We Walk in Circles. He's giving us a Pick 3 playlist here on Soundcheck. I'm Joel Meyer, sitting in for John Schaefer today. So you don't play the guitar much anymore, but before we turned on the microphone today, you said that you do also do some DJing, and for a while did it very intensely.
I wouldn't say super intensely. It was just really fun. I mean, in maybe 4 or 5 years ago, no, when was it? It was 2007. I think I went to Colombia with my friend Federico and my friends Federico and Meili, and we went to this music festival in Cali called the Petronio Alvarez, which is music from the Pacific coast of Colombia. And the parties that we went to that week were just extraordinary. And we said, oh, you know what? We should start a party in Oakland, where we were living at the time. And so we did. We started a party called La Pelanga. I built on my father's collection and then spread out into other types of Peruvian music, cumbia, specifically Peruvian cumbia, and then a lot of salsa and vallenato and you know, even champeta, which I really love. And then, you know, just mix it in also with some soukous, Haitian music from the 70s. You know, just really eclectic. That was the whole point of the pelanga. A pelanga is actually a kind of soup that you drink, that you have in Colombia, where they mix basically the tripe of all different types of meat. Mm-hmm. So the idea behind the la pelanga was, you know, we do it all. You know,
throw everything in.
Whatever you throw in a pelanga soup works, and whatever you play at a pelanga party, you know, it would work. And for a while, we were getting really great, very open crowds who were willing to dance to anything, mm-hmm. As long as it was good. And it was really a lot of fun.
So pick number two comes from the De La Soul album Balloon Mindstay, which is 1993. So I'm going to guess that this is putting you on like the tail end of your angsty teenage years. Have you graduated from Jimi Hendrix and you're moving into hip hop? Or where does hip hop fit into your music fandom?
You know, high school. So 93, I guess I was in 10th grade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, growing up where I grew up, hip-hop is very related to driving. You know, it's great music to, like, you know,
okay. So,
rolling your window down.
So when you're growing up in Birmingham, Alabama, you have to drive a lot, and this is the music that you want to drive to.
Yeah, absolutely. Get there faster.
And, you know, we start out every installment of our Pick 3 series with something from 3 Feet High and Rising, the De La Soul album, but you've picked Balloon Mind State, a later album, their last album produced by Prince Paul. What do you like about this record?
From beginning to end, it's a solid piece. It's funny, you know, which I think it was an antidote to a lot of the harder hip hop that
right,
I that
very
I was listening
serious,
to.
Very grim.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in some ways, and I mean, people, you know, we can sort of dissect the different strands of hip hop that have emerged, but there was a kind of hip hop that was very 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 funny, open and inviting, specifically to someone who was not growing up in. You know, I listen to Nas, but I'm not from Queensbridge, and I've never been there, and it's not a reality that I could appreciate beyond sort of a human novelistic level. You know, Illmatic is a novelistic description of a place that I've never been, and I could appreciate it, but, you know, you get a song like Ego Trip, and you see the video, and you're really laughing, and that's a very different way for someone who's not, you know, from a hip-hop community to engage with that kind of music.
It's a track that blends just great production from Prince Paul, but also satire of all the things that are going on in the hip-hop world at the time. This is Ego Trippin' Part 2 by De La Soul from the album Balloon Mind State.
Yep, big truck, a man's rolling in town. How you do? How you do? I got the joint to make you jump because I'm heading eastbound. Tired of the merry-go-round and around. And everybody's talking about your stuff funny, but they're still telling lies to me. I got the trees in my backyard, and it's hard for them to tell a lie to me. And who's the foot? I'm the foot, but who's stepping?
Ain't no.
You know where I'm stepping. Skirts play with it, cause I'm slick like that. I'm the greatest MC in the world. You got to give me mine, cause I'm heavy when I weigh it. Watch the way I say it. Ego trip. I changed my pitch up, smack my bitch up, I never did it. The flavor's being bucked, but brothers ain't getting it. Get it? Or else you're a goner. When I rolls over, you're gonna have to wanna lamp. Cause it's the Chattanooga champ. Taking a train, taking a train, taking a train, taking a train.
Now I'm something like a phenomenon. I'm something like a phenomenon. Well, I'm the
Ego Trippin' Part 2 from De La Soul, 1993, from the album Balloon Mind State, picked by my guest Daniel Alarcón, author of the novel At Night We Walk in Circles. Daniel, let's move on to your third pick, and you've come up with a pretty eclectic pick three today. We've heard Oscar Aviles from Peru, we've heard De La Soul from New York, and we're going to now move to Charles Mingus.
Mm.
And when does Charles Mingus come into play for you?
Well, in the midst of all that in high school, I was in a band, and I was in a band that morphed from playing kind of like wanting to be like the Chili Peppers to mm-hmm. Playing like rock covers of Ice Cube to playing jazz. And we were never
– All in what time frame?
Like, I mean,
how fast did that evolution happen?
That happened from like 9th grade to 12th grade.
Okay.
And I mean, all of this was done very poorly, I should say. And, you know, we weren't any good, but we had a lot of fun, and we had a quality which is both positive and can be very, you know, mortifying later, which is we had sincere artistic ambition, which if you don't have talent to match, it's, can be devastating. We tried. But one of the things that we always wanted to do was play a Mingus song, but, you know, they were the you know, we just didn't have the chops, you know. But so I was I got really into Mingus. I read Beneath the Underdog. I read the Brian Priestley biography, like in 10th grade. And one of the things that I got very fascinated by was that relationship between a composer, Mingus, and his virtuoso. And even later, I've become really, really into the notion of how a composer imagines what's possible in music because they have at their disposal someone of the talent of, say, Eric Dolphy, mm-hmm. you know?
The saxophonist.
The saxophonist, yeah. So this particular track I picked isn't Eric Dolphy. It's Jackie McLean that you'll hear, who's, you know, a tremendous artist in his own right. But the thing that, that I've actually written about in fiction, in very short stories, I've had Mingus as a character, is the depression that he fell into after Dolphy died. That he was sort of unable to imagine how he was going to write music if he didn't have this you know, three instrument monster who could play a 9-octave range to express that music.
You're going to leave us with the Mingus track Pithecanthropus Erectus. Why this track?
Well, because it's so grim, you know, and the mood is very similar in parts to the mood of the novel. I've read a lot about Mingus and different memoirs he wrote, and I liked very much something that I actually stole for the novel. Somebody asked him, and I think it was this song, but I'm not sure, if he could have the chord changes for a particular song, and Mingus drew a coffin. He would teach it to him, and someone asked, well, write out the chord changes for me, and Mingus drew a coffin and gave it to him. So when I have the Henry do that to his actors, and as you listen to this song, imagine Mingus, you know, getting a Sharpie and drawing a coffin and handing it to you, and it really is, you know, has that mood, you know, that atmosphere, which I'm just a sucker for that.
Huh? A little piece of musical insight into the novel by Daniel Alarcon, At Night We Walk in Circles. We're going to end with Daniel's pick by Charles Mingus, Pithecanthropus Erectus. Daniel, it's been a real pleasure having you on Soundcheck.
Thank you, Joel.
Thanks for listening. Stay connected by subscribing to the Soundcheck podcast on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and download the new WNYC mobile app for free.